come build a church. How did they know? How could they have imagined 168 years ago that you and I would have needed this place to come and to find our way forward? How did they know, Sarah, that you and I would have needed this place to shape us, to make us into the women of God that God wanted us to be? Neither of us could do our ministry without having been touched by the men and women in this place. How did they know the words of that song, that it is the flesh and spirit, the bone and blood that makes God's church? How did they know? They didn't. You see, faith is when you don't know and you act anyway. They didn't know. They couldn't have imagined us, but they sacrificed anyway. And the definition of sacrifice is when you give up something that you believe has value and has worth, something you long to keep, but you give it up for a nobler cause. They gave up their time, time they could have spent on their families and farm, time they could have spent establishing their own lives. They sacrificed. They sacrificed their money, $2,500, to build our first building. And in today's money, that would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. They sacrificed money that could have been in their own pockets because somehow their faith said to them, there's a foundation we're building for a church. And they sacrificed their reputation among the Baptists. You see, as the first established church in Barrington, they welcomed everybody. And they sacrificed their way of being Baptist. You and I, who are cradle Baptists, if you're cradle Baptist, raise your hand. There are only about a dozen of us, I know. But you knew if you were cradle Baptist that you didn't baptize babies. It was not our Baptist way. But from the very beginning, the members of this church pushed aside ritual and doctrine and dogma and simply sought to serve the people who were around them. They sacrificed their reputation with their Baptist brethren across and sisters across the nation because something in them moved. Oh, what faith, what sacrifice to bring what is noble to you, to bring what is of value and important to you and give it up to a higher cause. And that's a bit of what is going on in the first chapter of Leviticus. Now get this very clear. God's people are in the Exodus period. They do not have settled homes. They do not have a temple built in Jerusalem. They are operating in temporary tents along their way, but they hear through Moses from the mouth of God that God has a ritual God wants them to begin. It's a sacrifice. And in that Levitical text, it says, bring your best. It starts there. Bring your best bull if you have a bull. And if you don't have a bull, bring your best sheep. And if you don't have a sheep, bring your best bird. But it starts with bringing your best. Why would God want God's people to bring their best, that thing which they might sell and put money in their pocket to feed their families? Why might God want them to bring their best, that bull that might be used to establish the dowry, to be sure that your daughter has a good marriage? Why? Why would God want them to bring their best when by giving their best over to this nobler cause, it would cost them? What if God wanted them to bring their best to show that they trusted God? For if I give you my best and I don't have it, if I give it to you, then I am saying I trust you to make up for that and more. I trust you to take care of me. If I give you my best, you might even have better coming my way. It started with bringing your best, but it didn't end there. If you were going to make the sacrifice in the Levitical time, you had to bring your best, but you had to come near. You had to come near the altar with its flaming fire. You had to come near the altar with its heat. You had to come near because it was in the holy place. And when you came to the holy place bringing your best, it was received. It was received, and then you heard Heloise read. It was received, and then it, the sacrifice, had to die. You brought your best. You came near. It was received, and then humanely its throat was slit, and it had to die. It was placed on the flame, and it became radiant as the flames took over, and it became attractive because the smell would rise up. You heard, Heloise, a pleasing aroma in God's nose. Barbecue. Think barbecue. And then it was transformed. And then it became holy. And in ancient times, some of the meat that was cooked was given to the Levites, given to the priests, and it became useful. It was the best. It was brought near. It was received. It gave up its life. It was made radiant and transformed and made holy and made useful. The sacrifice was a sign among the people to their God that I will bring you my best because you will take of it and make it useful. The same was true of our brothers and sisters on this corner 168 years ago. They came near to Barrington. They brought their best. They allowed some of their dreams to die because the money they spent here could not be spent on their dreams. And it became radiant and it's still shining because that's what attracted us. And it became holy because holy only means set apart, kadosh, set apart for God. And it became useful. Useful for 168 years of men and women coming through those doors. Useful during the Civil War when the sons of this church like Sanford Peck went off and fought for our nation. Useful when during World War II this church brought a Japanese pastor here to preach to say that we will not draw those dividing lines. Useful when in the midst of the civil rights struggle a colored pastor from Chicago stood here and preached. Useful when Wayne and Betty Mitchell helped resettle Hmong families who were without homes. Useful when this church still, even when we run deficit budgets, take a tenth of our money and send it there, beyond these walls, not to benefit us. Beloved, the sacrifice takes whatever it is that is our best. And as we bring it near, it transforms it and makes it holy and makes it useful. And now, on this our anniversary, you and I are called to account. Yes, 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 we can turn around and see 168 years and be grateful. But it is true that we must also take up our positions and look forward and imagine what this church will be 30 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now. And we have to ask about our sacrifice. And you see, Paul is very clear in that church to Rome. It is no longer bulls and sheep and goats and birds. Paul is clear when he says to us, bring your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord. You and I are now the sacrifice, and we come near bringing our best. And we refuse to keep the life that the world has given us. Our throats are not slit, but we die to self. We die to those pieces in us that would say, I'm the most important, or I'm only going to serve mine, or I'm only going to seek to understand those who look like me, or I'm only going to worry about what's in it for me. We die to that. And then we are made radiant. We're not made radiant by fire. We're made radiant by the promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're made radiant as we breathe in God's Spirit. And God tells us that we are the temple of the Spirit, and God's Spirit resides in each of us. We are made radiant and we are transformed. We are transformed when we open our mind and say to God, I can only think in these carnal ways, these human ways, but you, O God, can offer me thoughts that are higher than my thoughts and deeper than my thoughts. You can take my thoughts and make of me something better. We are transformed. Yesterday, I flew back from Boston. And as I was getting on the plane, I dropped my bag and my Bible fell out. And a man that had a mark of a Hindu on his forehead was seated behind me and came out of his seat and picked up my belongings and handed them to me and saw my Bible and said, you have a Bible? And I said, yes, I'm a pastor. And then we took our seats and the gentleman sitting next to me halfway through the flight was fully inebriated. Fully. In my neighborhood, we would say he was on full. I was tired, and I was grumpy, and I was ready to tell him off. And then that man behind me reached over my seat and said, I'm so glad you're a pastor. In that moment, the heat of the Spirit transformed. In that moment, me, angry and ready to tell him what I thought about him and everybody who looked like him and the Heineken he was drinking. I had coffee, by the way. I was transformed because God's Spirit took over from a Hindu man sitting beside me, reminding me who I was in God's great pantheon. And I could be made holy, set apart for God's work, and that moment could be made sacred. Because when he called his wife, I asked for the phone and told her, he's inebriated. You need a pass to come get him. We are coming into 28B. Beloved, it's no joke. When we come near to God, when we bring our best, even if we have to be reminded by somebody else what our best is, when we come near to God and we will die to self, the Zena who wanted to tell him off, and be made radiant by God's precious Spirit, and be made holy, and be transformed, and be made useful, the world will change. And I'm so grateful to know that God knows what my best is. It's just like that widow's mite you received. I don't know what your best is on Monday, and I don't know what your best is on Thursday, but God does. And God never requires anything but your best for the sacrifice. But here's the key to sacrifice. Here's the key, and then I'm going to get ready to go to lunch with you. The key to this sacrifice is that it has to come voluntarily. You see, nobody can make that family bring their bull or their sheep or their bird. Nobody can make you bring your best. If it comes with coercion, if not, it does not work. It must come from a heart that is open to make the sacrifice. It must come from a heart that says, my God, I come near and I bring you my best. And I do this in the line of the one whose name is Jesus, who brought his best to the cross and was willing to die and be made radiant and rise again to say to you and me, you stand in my stead. You stand in my shadow. If I can do it, I'll empower you if you bring your best and if you come near. At our wedding, there was a song that a young man named Walter Owen sang, Ordinary People. Plain, old, ordinary people. God uses ordinary people because little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hands. Oh God, 168 years ago, sons and daughters walked down this space and sacrificed. Teach us that we are the foundation on which the future stands. Teach us that we might sacrifice, bringing our best. Teach us that joyfully we might come. And the future of your church on the corner of Lincoln and Grove might not end in 2015, but might see its way forward for 168 more years, because sons and daughters were willing to be a living sacrifice to you. Amen and amen.